This morning we have a special person coming to visit. And some of you might know him. He's been here before. He's no stranger, so I'm not even going to call him a guest. I'm just going to call him a special person. Rick, where are you? Come on out here. Rick? There he is. Made me nervous for a second. Did this just shut off? Can you hear me? Okay. All right. So Rick, I've known Rick for, about 3-4 years now. He is a regional minister for the North American Baptist Association. And this last year, I got to know him a whole lot better because Pastor Kim and Jen and I all were part of a North American Baptist missional triple conference thing in several different parts of the country called Blue Oceans, involving Rick as well. And so we got to, you know, bum around him a little bit, found out his sense of humor, some stories I can't share. Just kidding. But no, he's a super fun guy, has a beautiful wife and family, and I kind of like him. I think I would say you're my friend.
We're friends on Facebook.
We're friends on Facebook.
Facebook friends.
Well, way to keep it real, Rick. Anyway, he's going to be sharing some wonderful words. One of the things that he's really great at is helping churches in his region, which is a pretty big region, in any kind of times of transition. And we feel like we've been there for a little bit, maybe. So we figured he might be a good person to show up today. So thanks for showing up.
Thank you. That was very nice. I am a special person. Thank you, Rachel. And I'm funnier than you even know. Yeah. Goofy, maybe. How about this heat, huh? It's California. What do you expect, right? We were back home in South Dakota last week, Sunday, and on Saturday we had a storm come through. It was 90-plus degrees, and some of you lived in the Midwest, and it was over 90% humidity. Give me 105 degrees anytime. It's nothing. Well, it's good to be here today. Thank you for your graciousness toward me. Thank you for supporting the NorCal Association through giving and through prayers. We work with 42 churches in San Francisco, Sacramento area, and San Jose. And you have been part of NorCal since your beginnings in 1974. So it's great to be partners in ministry. We need each other. We are better together. We can accomplish more together, right? We have to cooperate and work together. Pray with me. Father God, we are so grateful that we can be present here today to look into your word, to consider the challenges you have for us, to consider what you're calling us to. We pray that we would be able to see what you want us to see. Hear the things we need to hear, that our hearts would be open to receive whatever it is you might have for us corporately and individually today. So may your Holy Spirit work in and among us today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You probably have been watching the news this week on May 25th, 1961. What was celebrated in the news this past week was started when President John F. Kennedy announced before a special joint session of Congress the bold goal of sending an American safely to the moon before the end of that decade. 50 years ago, humanity stood at a dividing line in history. On July 21st, 1969, the words, "The eagle has landed," were said by Neil Armstrong just 4 hours before his left foot touched the moon's surface, and he uttered, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." The threshold of space had been crossed. It was a bold vision. Courageous men and women made it possible. Phil Plait on July 19th, 2019 wrote this in the Washington Post, "In a single instant, our timeline irrevocably changed. Before that moment, no human had ever set foot on an alien world." A threshold had been crossed. A threshold is what you step across when you enter a room. A threshold is what takes place in your life when you get married, when you add a child, when you move to a new geographical location. We experience thresholds in life. It takes you from one place into another, whether it be physical or emotional, geographical. When you're about to start something new, you're on a threshold. A threshold is a point of departure or transition. In Joshua chapter 1, we see the nation of Israel on the threshold of the Jordan River. They are being charged to enter the promised land. Listen as I read the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving to the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness of Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. Moses had led this nation for 40 years. That's a long time to lead a nation. It's a long time to lead anything. The people rebelled the first time God had commanded them to enter the promised land. They were on the verge of taking the land. They sent the 12 spies in. The report came back. The majority report, we cannot take this land. The minority report said, we can take this land. Caleb and Joshua knew that God could deliver them into this land, but the nation rebelled and refused and wanted to go back to Egypt. It was Moses' intercession for the nation before God that spared this nation at that point. As a result of their rebellion, though, everyone over the age of 20 would die in the desert. Now, immediately after Moses died, they were again commanded to cross the Jordan and enter this land. But Moses is dead. 40 years they had the same leader, a steady hand, someone they trusted, someone that they could turn to if they were troubled. Moses is dead. Now what? Oh no. The nation would need a new leader. This was a threshold event in their history. Joshua, Moses' assistant, was appointed by God to lead them at this time. Sunrise is at a threshold. You're crossing over from one period of time marked by stability into a period of time that has been unexpected, that has been indefinite and somewhat unknown at times. What do you do when you're on the threshold? When you're moving through a period of transition and God is calling you to whatever is going to be next? The words of Joshua come to mind. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, last time I was here on June 2nd, I preached a sermon that some have referred to as the Oldsmobile sermon. I want you to know I'm going to use an illustration about Chrysler. I'm not a one-trick pony. I don't just have stories about car companies, but it fits today with this passage, so please listen. On November 2nd, 1978 edition of the Detroit Free Press, it carried two headlines: Chrysler losses are worse than ever, and the second headline was Lee Iacocca joins Chrysler. Wow. This company was on the threshold. Something had to change. The nation's 10th largest corporation, 10th largest corporation, would fold or go through a major reorganization. Losses in the third quarter of 1978 had exceeded $160 million. That was just in the third quarter. That's $650 million today. That's a huge loss. Leadership was going to be critical. It seemed like it would be impossible to turn this thing around. Who would be qualified to lead under these circumstances? Lee Iacocca joins Chrysler. He reorganized. He brought in new people, the best people. He said, leadership means setting an example. When you find yourself in a position of leadership, people follow your every move. And over a period of years, that corporation crossed from the threshold of imminent bankruptcy to the corporate comeback story of the 20th century. It was an amazing thing that happened at Chrysler. Now, your leadership has changed. Whenever there's a shift in leadership, there's a question, now what? What will this require? How will this affect me? What about my preferences? What about our future together? A shift in leadership creates a threshold event for any congregation. This is not unique to Sunrise. How will you respond? Be strong and courageous. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you. Don't get stuck. Don't be afraid. Don't fret. Don't fear. View threshold events as a potential ally in your quest for Christ-like maturity. If it wasn't for events like these and transitions like you're experiencing, we wouldn't be challenged to grow in the same way, to follow Jesus in the same way, to be as dependent upon the work of God as what we are. Threshold events are our ally in our quest for Christ-like maturity, an ally in moving the church into the next stage of what God wants us to do in and through the work He's called us to. Now back to the story, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Maybe in a church it would seem like, okay, the pastor's resigned, let's sell our building. Okay, the pastor's resigned, let's move to North Dakota. I mean, this is crazy. Moses is dead. Get ready to cross the Jordan. This is too much too soon, isn't it? We just got a new leader and now we're moving into a new land. Joshua himself must have wondered about God's wisdom in this command. He was one of the two who originally said, we can take this land. But that was back when Moses was leading and Joshua was following. Now he was just getting used to the idea of leading. How about a short adjustment period to get people into place? Can you hear some people? Pastor Joshua, I think that's just too much change. Pastor Joshua, that's just too big of a challenge for us right now. Don't you know that Moses just died? Elders, you need to make better decisions. Are you crazy? Would you get this Pastor Joshua under control? You didn't ask us what we wanted. We don't want to cross the Jordan. We don't think it's the right time. We should settle in a while. We should adjust before we risk too much. You know, the desert isn't such a bad place after all. Just have to get used to it. It's not humid. I can hear my voice in all of that. I would have all kinds of objections to what God was calling them to do. When you cross the threshold, you are in a new territory, a new land. You've probably moved to a new place in your lifetime. In 1984, we moved from Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Cleveland, Ohio. I had never been that far away from home before. I was 24 years old. It was 1,000 miles away, and it was frightening. New people, new stores, new doctors, new streets, new job, new stress, a young family. Moving into new territory can be difficult, but it was filled with opportunity. 45 years ago, there was no Sunrise Community Church. NorCal and others had the vision to plant a church in this community. You heard me say this last time I was here. Gene and Eleanor Kern were willing to move to a new land from Aberdeen, South Dakota to Fair Oaks, California. A core group of people with a vision for this church came together. The church grew. 20 years later, you crossed a threshold when Rich Sherman was called and was willing to step into new territory. Throughout those 40 years, there were challenges and celebrations. You had vision, you took risks, you rose to challenges, you demonstrated strength and courage, and now you're in the middle of another transition. Be strong and courageous as you stand on the threshold of what God has for you next. For the Lord your God is with you. I've asked this question of Sunrise before. What would have happened if NorCal Association of Churches didn't have a vision? What if her churches would not have given to this project? What if the Currents had said, you know, South Dakota's not that bad? No, thank you. We're comfortable where we are. What if that core group of people had said, you know, we're really happy with the church we have, or, you know, we don't really want to go that into that neighborhood and plant a church. The houses are too expensive. Who wouldn't have been reached if a risk wasn't taken, if the call of God wasn't responded to? Whose life wouldn't have been transformed? Some of yours, perhaps. Who wouldn't have been served? I believe God has allowed Sunrise to be on the threshold. It's good when a church is on the threshold. It's good because we look to God, because suddenly we're uncomfortable. We're a bit more desperate and uncertain. It's good to be on the threshold. He's leading the church to new opportunities, new territory, land unimagined. Be strong and courageous. The temptation with a void of leadership or a change of leadership is to shrink back, to wait, to stabilize, to settle in, to see what the new normal is. Is that what God is asking Sunrise to do? That's not how you started. That's not your story. That's not your history. You've not stayed on the old side of the Jordan River. When you faced a threshold in the past, you've willingly crossed it with faith. You didn't have enough money when this church started. You didn't have a large enough group of people. You didn't own land. There was a vision, a call, a lost community to reach. Money or size or not having a building could not stop that. Is that same spirit here among you today? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. You believe that? Yes. The landscape of our territory has changed since Sunrise was planted. The culture around us has changed. Society has shifted. You've noticed that, haven't you? How do we connect with our culture for the sake of the gospel today? It's not the same way it was in 1974. It will be uncomfortable. It is uncharted territory, but it is a land filled with great opportunity. Be strong and courageous. This new land is not about a physical or geographical change, is it? We're not leaving this building. We're not moving from this property. We still have the same boundaries, the same physical setting. It is a cultural and societal change that we are facing. The first century church was revolutionizing culture. They were on the margins. They were a tiny group of people. But God was at work in big ways, and they revolutionized culture. They were in some ways a subversive movement. The 21st century church oftentimes seems to be following culture rather than revolutionizing culture. Jesus' resurrection was a threshold event. Everything changed on the cross with the resurrection. It is a transforming revolution. A subversive movement that changes everything from the inside out. Today, the church has been pushed to the margins of our society. That may sound like bad news, but it's not necessarily bad news. There may be good news in this. The church has done its best work in the margins of a culture of society. For much of its history, the church has been on the margins. In most places around the world, the church is in the margins, and God is at work in amazing ways. So we don't bemoan or fret the fact that we don't have the center any longer, that we don't have the political power that we once had. The church has never been dependent upon political power. It's dependent upon the work of God. Be bold and be strong, be courageous. The church is not afraid. She sees opportunity in the margins. What will it take to reach this new territory? How will we communicate the gospel in a way that will gain a hearing and grip hearts? That's what we're asking God for. What does it look like to be the church today in this culture? Lord God, give us the courage to be that kind of church. You are on the threshold of new leadership. Crossing that threshold will bring new opportunities to this congregation. You are entering a new land. What will you be called to risk again? Where will you be asked to sacrifice your preferences for those who are not yet here, who need the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is God up to in this congregation, and how will you respond? Be strong and courageous, Sunrise. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Go with me just a little further back than the Joshua 1 story. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 9 through 13. I won't read these, but for reference, Deuteronomy 31, 9 to 13. Moses has been writing down everything that God commanded him. It's the same law, but now it's given in written form. There's no question about what God has said now. It's not with pen and paper, but it's with chisel and stone, I guess. It's written down. It's the same law, but given in written form. So here's a nation with a new leader, a new land, and in some ways a new law. The law in a new form. It's no longer only oral, it is now written. It would be clear and they would be without excuse. Be careful to obey everything I have commanded you. Now the standard with which they would be measured was clear. I personally don't not like new laws. When we moved to California 4 years ago, we had to take the California driver's test. There were some new laws. I was scared to death I would fail. And you know how humiliating that would be. Don't let your driver's license expire, by the way. We no longer live under this old written law. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law and we live under grace, God's unmerited favor. And we're saved through the work of Jesus Christ. By grace you are saved. And that is a gift of God. Not by works, not by anything you can boast about. Only what God has done. When a congregation crosses a threshold, grace must be practiced. Grace toward one another. Grace toward new ideas and changing things from how they've been. Grace that permeates relationships and decision-making processes. Grace that allows you to hear each other and love each other and make exceptions for one another. You may not like what gets changed. You may not like the fact that society has shifted and culture has changed. But it's reality. There's no going back to the old way. Everything seems to have shifted. And it feels like it's moving faster than ever. It requires the church to rethink how we reach those without Jesus Christ. The message never changes. The message never changes. But our means, our methods of how we reach people can constantly change. And we should welcome those changes when they reach people with the gospel. Just a couple more things. When the church is on the threshold, she needs qualified leadership. If you go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18, the rest of chapter 1, chapter 3, verses 2 through 3, we see that God brings along leaders. He appoints leaders. He encourages Joshua, commands Joshua to appoint leaders at the right time to lead through transition and change. God's at work to bring along the right leaders when a church is in transition. At times, leaders may make decisions that are not popular. I know you've probably never experienced that here. Not everybody likes every decision that's made in a congregation. But leaders are trying to make the best decisions possible with what they know and what they believe God is leading them toward. And they're not usually making decisions that favor them. They're making decisions that favor the whole church. Even at times when we don't see exactly what that's looking like. Leaders who serve with vision and courage is what we desperately need. Leaders who make decisions in favor of groups of people rather than based on personal preference. Leaders who are willing to risk failure. I don't know if you saw this, but a couple of weeks ago when the moon landing was celebrated, there was a speech published that was written for Nixon just in case of a moon landing disaster. Did you see that? I should have brought it with me. It is an amazing speech. But they were willing to risk failure because they believed there was something they were going to accomplish that was greater than they were. The church should not be afraid to try something new, even if it may fail. We're going to learn something through that failure. And it's going to prepare us for whatever's next. So don't be afraid to take risks that might fail. Don't be afraid to put yourself on the line. These are the kinds of leaders churches today need. Caleb's and Joshua's across the board. Not only are qualified leaders necessary, because it's easy to say that, we need qualified leaders. Now listen to this. There was one more thing, a consecrated congregation. Oh, wait a minute. Now that involves us, doesn't it? Now it's not just leaders, it's the congregation. Listen to what Joshua told the people in chapter 3, verse 5. Consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. Consecrate yourselves. Set everything else aside because this is the objective. Put all of your other priorities over to the side because this is bigger than anything that is important to you today. Consecrate yourselves. Give every effort to this cause. Put everything aside for this one thing. Consecrate yourselves. This was not an order for one man or woman. It was an order for the entire congregation. The entire nation was entering the land. Together they would enter or they would remain in the desert. There was no room for individual differences or rebellion. There was a greater task at hand. Consecrate yourselves, for the Lord will do amazing things among you. Right in the middle of the entire nation, total commitment was necessary for what was ahead. When Chrysler was experiencing the pangs of death, when they were dealing with the unions for wage reductions in the middle of this deficit, Iacocca had success because of his willingness to take a pay cut. Now we can say, well, he could afford it. But he was setting an example, and in the war to save Chrysler, he reduced his own salary to $1 a year. Even though he may have had plenty of money, it's still a sacrifice, and it set an example for others. About Iacocca, the union said this, "This guy is going to lead us to the promised land." And over the next 19 months, the average plant worker for Chrysler gave up almost $10,000 a year in annual wages. That translates to about $30,000 in today's dollars. A 30% wage cut on a $100,000 salary. You know, that's significant, isn't it? They were committed to the cause of seeing Chrysler rescued. Do we think like that as the church? Are we willing to sacrifice in the way that these men and women did for a corporation? Are we willing to sacrifice in that way for the cause of Christ? Corporations come and go, folks. The cause of Christ is the priority, and it is here to stay. We ought to sacrifice everything. These workers were committed to crossing from the threshold of bankruptcy to profitability. They were consecrated to a higher purpose than their take-home pay. What would that attitude accomplish in the mission that God has given His church? Now, crossing the threshold is not just about structure and organization. It's not about tradition or how we did it in the past. It is about what God is doing now in this place at this time. It will not be like it was. Means and methods of reaching people constantly change. The message stays the same. But as everything changes around us, we take advantage of that for the sake of the gospel. God will do amazing things among us, His church. Consecrate yourselves. Set aside your preferences and your priorities for what God prefers and what God prioritizes. The threshold is crossed with qualified leaders, with a consecrated congregation, and it's commemorated with a marker. Chrysler's comeback's memorialized with millions of minivans lining our highways and our junkyards, right? Someday those vans are going to be cool. Hang on to yours if you have it. Future generations will hear about the success of the Chrysler minivan and Iacocca. Some are actually hearing about it for the first time this morning. Israel commemorated the crossing of the Jordan with a stone marker. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, they're instructed to put a marker to commemorate. Why? So the stories of the living God would make a huge impression upon their children and grandchildren. We must tell and retell the stories of God working in our midst. The history of how He's shown up in our lives, in our congregation, and what He's done. So they're reminded that God's work is consistent and works throughout generations. Etch the stories of God's work into the memories of your children and grandchildren. For the nation, everything came together just as God promised. Leadership carried out their job. The congregation consecrated themselves to God. The event was commemorated for future generations. Again, from the Washington Post on July 19th, 50 years ago, the U.S. planted a flag on the moon, declared victory in the space race, and returned home. We now live on the other side of that line. There will never again be the first time that humans land on the moon. We've launched space telescopes, landed robots on Mars, sent missions to all the planets in the solar system, orbited a comet and multiple asteroids, seen moons around other planets up close, and even landed on one. But for the most part, he writes, Americans have lost interest in space for several reasons. We won the race in the middle of the Cold War, which is a motivator to beat the Russians. We won that race. The race is over. Now the winds of politics and economic challenges and election cycles and the fear of failure and the lack of a Cold War all account for declining interest. Is the church in the same danger of losing interest after a prolonged period of success? You've had a pretty good 40 years. There's been some great things God has done. But we cannot lose interest. We have not yet accomplished everything God has called us to. Our major objective is still there. The work is not done. Are we in danger of thinking the mission is impossible in this climate? The challenge to press into what's next can be disrupted by a fear of failure, by a lack of passion, by selfish distractions. The church, we as believers, must recognize every day is a threshold event, right? Every day is a threshold event. When you wake up in the morning, you make decisions about what you're going to pursue that day, what new territory you're going to enter into or allow God to move you into. Every day is a threshold event, a new beginning, an entry point, a doorway, a history waiting to be written. It will make no difference what yesterday held or tomorrow holds. What matters is that we're ready to respond today. That by the grace of God and by His power, we're ready and willing to give whatever's necessary to enter that new land, to prepare new leaders, to plant new churches, all for the sake of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sunrise, how will you respond to the challenge, the new territory? How will you respond? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. How are you going to respond? You're going to be strong and courageous, aren't you? Because the Lord your God is with you. How are you going to respond? Amen. Pray with me. Father God, help us to be strong and courageous. Help us to see things as they really are. Help us to see things the way You see them, to see people and opportunities the way You see them. Give us the courage to move into the opportunities You bring. Father, we pray for this congregation that You would move in mighty ways, that You would provide and prepare for whatever's next. None of us can predict that. But we know You are not finished. that your call here is not complete. And so may this congregation be consecrated to you for your purposes. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Rick, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Rick really is a shepherd of this church, someone who cares for this church and has walked alongside this church in many ways, and we're very grateful for him, so thank you so much, Rick. One of the things that stood out to me that he said this morning is, when a church is on the threshold, we look to God. And that really is the heart for where we are as a church. When we're on the threshold, we look to God. God is our hope, and we encourage together, by faith, we continue to look to God as we move forward as a church together. Just want to let you know that next week we're going to be starting just a short 3-week sermon series that really ties into that. We're going to be looking at the book of 1 Samuel and what happened with the nation of Israel when they chose to put their hope in a king instead of putting their hope in the King of Kings. And I think it's going to challenge us in some incredible ways in this season and with what God has in store for us as we look to the future. If you're here today and there's some stuff going on in your life and you'd just like to be prayed for, we invite you to come up after the service. We have some wonderful people up here that just love to connect with you, listen to you, and pray for you with whatever may be going on in your life. So I encourage you, don't hesitate to take advantage of that opportunity. And it's been a pleasure just being with you guys this morning. We'll be back here next Sunday. Looking forward to connect again and being a part of what God is doing here. You guys have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.